One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Be Here for a While. I just want to thank you guys again for all your emails and tweets and Instagram messages. And shut up, Danny. This is my time. This is my time. I really appreciate every single message, and I would love to keep chatting with you guys. So keep emailing me at info@RachelO'BrienComedy.com. That's info@RachelO'BrienComedy.com. And if you like the podcast, please rate it 5 stars on iTunes. I might as well introduce my guest because he's being impatient right now.
He's trying to do some backup.
I like it. He's a very funny stand-up comedian and storyteller. Also, you're an improviser. We know each other from Second City.
Right.
He is. He's known for his quirky storytelling style, which I have stories that I'm going to make you tell, and you're going to do it, and you're going to suck it up because they're some of my favorite stories. Anyways, he's performed all around the world, like South Africa, United Kingdom, Belgium, France, Spain, and Holland. You currently host a show at the Improv called Bookshelf Show, and you have 2 podcasts.
You've been on it.
Yes, I have. Last week or this week. I don't know. They all get mixed up. Modern Day Philosophers and the Mostly Bull Market. Very good podcasts.
Philosophers.
Who was your guest today on your podcast?
Today we recorded with Mayim Bialik.
She's from Big Bang Theory.
Upcoming episode.
And what was she as a child star? She was a child star.
Yeah, she was Blossom.
Blossom, that's what it was.
Oh, and what was she as a child? Younger.
Younger. she was a kid. She was 8, 9.
It's the jokes like that that just won't stop, folks.
It's good. You are going to be in for a long ride.
Rolling for the whole episode.
I came to Danny's house today because mine is sort of like...
You don't have a house. You're homeless.
Not homeless. I'm shifting.
You're in between places.
Yeah, exactly.
Your life is changing. You only have one working hand. Nothing is the
same. But look, I can hold a mic with it with ease. Look at how natural this
swollen.
Is.
It's swollen. It's swollen. The hand is so swollen, around the mic.
Gripping around it. That's actually, the swelling has come in handy a little bit.
Yeah, it's good for mic holding.
Yeah, well, you do what you got to do.
The more you become a comedian, the body starts to transform. Now you have a mic holding hand.
That's why I broke it, just for convenience. It's just now a part of me. I'm just going to walk
around. Have you told them about the broken hand?
Oh, my
hand?
God, it's all I talk about. I think everyone in the world knows. I introduce myself to people. I'm like, sorry, my hand's broken. And they're like, I didn't notice. I'm like, all right, well, now you know.
You could change the name of the podcast. I'll be here for a while because I have a broken hand.
I could. Seems a little
it's
long.
Hard to go anywhere when you have a broken hand.
That's good.
Why is it called I'll Be Here for a While?
Be Here for a While? It was a play on like that old like hacky joke that comedians used to say, like, I'll be here all night.
Oh, I'll be here.
And like a drunk person in a bar saying, okay. I'll be here for a while.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's true of every podcast. Every podcast will be here for a while.
We hope so.
Until we can't just keep putting them out there for free anymore and we have to do something to make money with our time.
Or you run out of guests.
Yeah.
I just like wonder, like, am I going to run out of guests?
No. There's
I don't have that many people that like to be around me.
People. No, that's not true.
Thank you, Danny. I fish for that compliment.
I know.
Appreciate it.
You have oddly low self-esteem. You should have a lot more confidence.
What do you mean? I have confidence.
Okay.
I mean,
just from my experience of hanging around you, I always feel like.
Really?
Yeah. You should have a lot more confidence.
All right. Thanks.
Talented. You want a lot of compliments? I can give
you. Yeah, that's why I drove down here. Danny lives like four miles from my house.
You're a friendly person. You're a talented person. You're a good-looking person.
Appreciate
that.
You
should have a lot of confidence.
Thank you.
Where's all your confidence?
I have some. It's just silent-ish.
Were you abused as a child?
No.
Too personal, too quick?
No. Okay, I was actually praised very much by my parents.
What happened? How did you lose all this confidence?
I have a lot of confidence.
You should be arrogant, even cocky.
I don't want to be cocky.
No, it's not a good
quality.
I don't
like people like that.
But you could be if you wanted to be.
But then everyone would hate me.
See, that's that. Why don't you have the confidence to think people
would like you? Does anyone like arrogant people? I can't stand
arrogant
people.
Arrogant people think that everybody would like them.
Yeah. Oh, I hate arrogant people.
So you're just too self-aware to be arrogant. I get it.
I think that's true. Maybe. Very good point.
Okay.
Danny used to throw me under the bus at Second City because I would only play moody characters, or what was it?
I don't think I'd thrown you under the bus. I would just give you friendly advice.
No, like you made me do it one time where you announced. You're like, Rachel's going to play an upbeat character today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you kept being like a sour character. Like, everything is, I'm Kathy. I smoke a million cigarettes and I work in the...
A coal mine.
Yeah, the coal mine. Like, who are these sad blue collar people? Like, you
know, I grew up in a blue collar town.
Nothing wrong with blue collar, but you just maybe you didn't I just choose the upbeat blue collar guy. You just were just like the sad, like
I don't think I knew any upbeat blue collar people.
I'm a miner.
That's what I was around.
My lungs. But weren't you ever around someone who's like, hey, I'm a miner. I lost my lungs.
No, I don't know one miner that would say that. Although we don't have miners in my town, they're loggers and fishermen.
Yeah, but all your characters, they'd be like, I'm a receptionist. Like with a raspy voice.
I'm lonely.
Voice like
my husband divorced me. Maybe my voice was just raspy because I was hungover. I don't know.
No. You were playing raspy.
Yeah. Well, that's all I know how to do.
And I'd be like, be bubbly. Be happy.
And
be
I would
upbeat.
Think I was being bubbly. And you were like, that was just as depressing. Yeah, but, you just raised your voice a little.
My husband cheated on me. Now I drink martinis all day. Hi.
She sounds like a blast.
No, she was sad.
Thanks, Danny. Appreciate it. How are you feeling today after the election?
Fine. I never had any faith in the political system anyway. So
yeah,
it's just I didn't have hopes one way or another. And people are like, that means you like Trump. No, I just don't.
Just
I don't believe in either one of them. I didn't think either one of them were good people. And it's like just choices you don't want. I forget, like, I had a good analogy with my brother, but I forget what it is now. But something along the lines of, oh, let's say you're like, hey, which one of these people at this, you go to a party of all people you don't like, right?
Okay.
And you're like, oh, man, I can't stand any
which
of these people.
Which is most parties in Hollywood.
Okay, sure. So you're like, I can't stand any of these people. These aren't my crowd. These are specifically not my crowd. You're like, these people are all into politics. I'm mm-hmm. not into politics, right? Or whatever. They're into something you're not into.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, I can't stand being around these people. And they're like, but which one of them do you love?
That's a really good analogy.
And you're like,
which one do you want to spend 4 years with?
None of them. And you're like, no. I know. But which one do you want to push for on your Facebook page, on your Twitter? Like, which one would you wear a shirt for? Which one would you stand? You're like, I don't like any of them, and everything I know about them is bad. Why do? No. But which one of them?
Analogy. That's a really good analogy.
You know,
it's true.
And I'm like, these are just not my crowd. I don't like these people.
Who do you want to attach yourself with? Like everything that people think about you for 4 years.
If you had to pick one of them, why would I have to pick one of them? I don't have to pick either one. Because one of them's going to be hanging around. Fine. I don't have to hang around with them. I don't have to associate myself or endorse them. I don't like them.
Yeah.
I don't like a guy who's misogynistic to women and makes people feel alienated in this country and. Mm-hmm. And makes people feel uneasy about whether or not they'll get to stay in their home or with their family.
Oh,
I don't like a woman who's like involved in a million scandals and takes tons of money from private or interests that she cuts side deals with that we don't know about and you know has all kinds of scams going in every direction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that, you know.
Yeah,
who tells one group of people I'm this to you, but I'm that to them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
That's a good
like,
point.
I don't want to endorse one of these candidates. I'd rather just keep making fun of both of them on Twitter and Facebook because that's what I like to
you're
do.
A
I
comedian.
Like to make jokes. You
yes.
know? But I don't have any attachment to either candidate. And I told my brother, like, isn't it awful that Trump won? He goes, yeah, it's horrible. I go, but wouldn't it have been awful if Clinton won?
Either way, it was just going to be a bad day. People were walking around like zombies today, I feel like.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone was happy.
People were crying, and
really?
Felt for them. Yeah, two girls in the group were crying. I really felt for them because,
wow,
I understand that they believed, you know,
yeah,
like they believed in Clinton, they believed.
Yeah,
I didn't believe.
Yeah.
Like I just thought
that might be a girl thing because they wanted to see if the first female president.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah, but
I felt no emotion.
Yeah, that's how I felt. It was like. Okay, and now another crook. You know, it's not...
Yeah, whatever.
I didn't believe the lies. I didn't believe that there was going to be, you know, an economy that works for everyone and this and that and all the happy
in the natural course of life in any relationship or anything, nothing ever works for everyone. That doesn't really exist in any scenario that's ever happened in the world.
I figured if Clinton won,
except for maybe animals and people.
Yeah, you know, she'd continue whatever corrupt politics she's involved in and hand out to whoever she's, you know, owes favors to and stuff like that. And if he wins, you know, the other terrible consequences that I was talking about.
Yeah.
Which are worse, I don't know. So
I don't know.
I'm not emotionally attached.
You have a very good Clinton story. Okay, I know how I'll get you into it. How'd you first start doing stand-up?
No, when I'd started first doing stand-up, my dad's a photographer. He's really retired now, but he used to do a lot of functions. He photographed many of the past presidents up until Obama.
Did you live in D.C.?
No, New York. But they all come there.
Got it.
And he'd go there. He'd go to D.C. He'd go. Mm-hmm. He traveled all around the world, so he photographed countless amounts of presidents over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of political people, and he got hired to do this event, a Jewish event, where Hillary Clinton was the honoree, and it was all
Why?
These millionaires.
Is she Jewish?
No, because she'd given money to some Jewish thing. I don't know.
All right.
So, or they were giving her money. I don't know. Maybe they were just
One
trying
of the
to. I think they were trying to court her, so that you know, if she wins, she'd be on their side. You know.
Got it.
Anyway, so. Hillary Clinton was the honoree, and all these big donors had given tons and tons of money to get her there and her to speak one of her scammy special interest speeches. I don't know, but my dad's job was to get the big donors in a room with her afterwards and in front of a background that he set up and take pictures because that's what they want. They paid all that money. They want their personal picture with Hillary Clinton.
Oh, I see. Right? Like in front of a thing and they're like shaking hands.
Yeah.
And,
so it looks like they're best friends or whatever.
Yeah.
So Hillary was there with her aide and they had a tight window of time and they're saying, well, where are these guys? We have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, you know, these guys are all rich guys and they, you know, they think, you know, she'll wait for us or whatever, you know. So they're not there. And she's saying, I'm leaving. And my dad knows that he's stuck in the middle of it because who's going to get blamed? The photographer. And say, well, why didn't you get us into that room with her? You were the photographer. It's your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they didn't keep to their time to be there. So my dad now had to go and fish them out of the crowd and interrupt their conversations and say, excuse me, Clinton. I don't know if she was a senator yet or whatever, but she's waiting. And I think she was a senator of New York at the time. She's waiting in that room. You're supposed to get a photo with her.
Mm-hmm.
Please come right now. She has to leave. So in the meantime, you know, he's saying, hold on, let me grab the donors. And Hillary's aide is saying, I'm sorry, she doesn't have time to hang around. And he's like, please, it's very important. We need to get him. And she's like, I'll give you 5 minutes or something, but you better come back. Or
and were you the only
go.
Other
we
person in the room?
Appointment. I was the only other one there.
How old were you at the time?
I was in college first year of college, so it was my job to like sort of like help my dad with the lights or whatever, you know. Or just say, okay, you step forward and you go there. And he says, Daniel, you know how to talk to people, just keep her in this room, don't let her leave.
Kidnapper.
So I had to filibuster, you know. I had to keep her in the room.
Did you panic? Were you just like, I got this?
Well, I think I was at first. I was like, I got this. And then I started talking to her, and I'm like, hey, how are you? I'm in college. And she's like, oh, so nice to meet you. And she was really nice, and she said, so what do you do? And I just started doing stand-up comedy. And she's like, oh, that's great. I love comedians. Let me hear your routine. So normally I'd be like, nah, I don't really want to, because, you know.
Yeah, because comedy's never funny outside of a comedy club in general.
Right, in front of an audience of one on the spot.
Yeah.
And then I thought it would be really funny if, like, all my jokes were just like, all right, so Bill Clinton's in the Oval Office, you know, and Monica walks in. Like, what if that was all my whole life? All right, I don't really want to. Okay,
like, that's what
fine.
You had actually written and you had nothing else to say. You were just like, do you really want to hear it? Is this?
All right.
I should warn you that maybe it might be sensitive for you, but this is all I have. I'm new.
it's all material from the 90s when Bill was president. I haven't. She's like, I thought you just started. Yeah, I write old jokes right from the start. I just thought it was the thing to do. Whatever. So I start doing my act for her. And she's like laughing like it's Showtime at the Apollo. Like she's like really like politicianing it up.
Really? Like slapping like, her knee and
like,
stuff?
She's just going for it. Like I have pictures of her where her head is like tilted back. She's like laughing to the high heavens.
You're like, ma'am, this isn't that funny.
I knew it wasn't that funny. Because like, you know, you're like, I'm okay, but this is like the response feels fake, you know? So I finished my act. It was like maybe less than five minutes. And then I was like, she's like, oh, that's great. And then I realized I had her in this position where if I just kept going, it would be rude for her to leave.
Yeah.
Because she can't just be like, she was already laughing so hard that she, it would be unnatural for her to just stop and be like, okay, I have to go.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you want to really pretend that I'm on a roll, yeah. you know, then I have to keep being on a roll, you know? So I was like, it's got to keep her here. As long as she's fake laughing, I just have to keep coming up with stuff. So and her aide kept like coming in like, Hillary, we have to get, and she was like, give her like the hold on a second because, you know, this kid's doing his act for me. I don't want to walk away. It'd be rude.
He's a future voter. I got to be.
Right. Little did she know I don't vote. But so I just I started going into my new material. And she's laughing just as hard as it's the stuff that works. You know, so I know, you know, for a second, maybe my ego was like, I'm great, this good,
yeah,
you know?
Wow, I'm a star.
But now I know I'm not. It's just the situation. So now I get through the new material. Now I go into stuff that I'd written in my notebook to turn into material, where it was not even a complete joke.
Did you pull out a notebook or you just kept talking?
Just remembering what I'd written down. Yeah. Like, you know, salmon is interesting. Like, it looks like wood, but it's like, you know, it's pink, but it looks like wood. Salmon was brown, it would look like wood, you know.
Kind of makes me laugh. I wouldn't be throwing my head back over it, but
I remember. I'm like, it's just a thought. It's not even a joke. Yeah. It's nothing.
And she was just eating it up.
If you stare at a piece of salmon long enough, you think you're looking at a piece of wood.
It's really dumb. She was dying.
She's dying laughing at that. I'm like, oh boy. Then I run out of ideas from the notebook. Now I just start throwing out things as if they're also jokes, you know, like. What's up with high tide? We have high tide, low tide. No, I mean, this isn't what I said, but I was just coming up with anything.
Basically, like, yeah.
You know. Why is there lapels on jackets, you know? What's the point of the lapel?
Did you hold her there for the time that you needed to?
I kept her there for the whole time. And she laughed the entire time. And then just in the nick of time, just when I was like, I couldn't think of anything else to say.
There was no. There were no more objects
donors.
In the room you could comment on.
Yeah.
No more lamps. You could be like, look at the lampshade. What about those? Looks like a hat.
She must have realized these went from decent jokes at best to lousy jokes to joke ideas
just
to just rambling.
Yeah. I wonder if some people, you know, have like crazy memories where like you obviously remember that story because it was Hillary Clinton. But like, I honestly think that she probably would remember that story as like this kid. Who I was, you know, how many other, you know, photographer assistants were stand-up comedians? I bet she probably remembers that story.
I wonder. I don't know. But I just knew that I was like, after it was over, I was like, wow. So that's what a politician is like. She was such a skilled liar. Like, it was just so, it was so natural to, like, I couldn't even fake it like that if I tried. Like,
that's
I just
so
couldn't. I couldn't make anyone believe that. As well and as consistently as she did. It wasn't like...
I could probably do it for a solid, like, minute, and then my eyes would start, like... I would just, like...
It's the same skill as debating, you know? Like, how do you stand up there for that long and just keep, like,
yeah.
blah, 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 blah?
I just don't care enough about anything to do that.
Exactly.
I'm tired.
You're not supposed to.
I'm like a sandwich.
But that's, like, a skill. That's a politician right there. That's, like...
And it really
you
is.
Just keep on... producing the phoniness
Until people just eventually get beat down. They're like, fine, you're right. Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
At least that's what I would be like. I don't know. Where did you go after that in stand up after your Hillary Clinton debut?
That was it. I quit.
You did not. Where did you? So then you started doing stand up in New York. Were you already doing it in New York? But.
Yeah. I just did it in New York for a long time. And then I came out here. And I've been doing it here for 4 years. There's not much of a story there.
There is. Every comic has a story. Well, you started going to mics, then you went to clubs.
Everybody's got a story.
You walked into a club. Chris Rock was performing, and you saw him for the first time. Everyone has these stories.
Yeah, that happened.
I love these stories.
Actually, Chris Rock, for a little while, was working on his special.
Mm-hmm.
An HBO special. Or no, you know, he had a New Year's show at Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And he was preparing for that. And he kept coming in and bumping me. And it was just like I would be the last
bumping
one.
Bumping means like... You have a spot, and then a more famous person, like, you know, takes your spot. I'm explaining it to the
people.
I know
that.
Yeah. Shut up. Explain to the people that are listening.
I get it.
My podcast listeners.
So they walk in and what?
Shut up.
So every time I'd be about to go on stage, he'd come in. And it was always like me. Like, you know, there was
really?
Always. It'd always be like, and now Danny. Oh, sorry. Chris Rock. And it kept happening to me. And he realized that it was always me. I was like, oh, it's the last one.
Oh, that's
one.
So nice.
And he was really nice. He's like, oh, sorry, I know. Like, you know, it would be at the comic strip most nights. And I was on late night. And anytime I'd be about to go on, I'd been waiting the whole night to go on for these spots. You have to get there at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch the
crowd dwindle.
So you
don't have like a set time. You just are waiting or what?
You have to get there. So the way late night, I don't know how it works now, but if it works the way it used to work, there's a list, mm-hmm. and you have to, you know, there's a few comedians who are, like, new, and they are passed for late night, but they're not passed for regular spots.
Oh, okay. Rich Scheidner was saying this. I have a really hard time saying his last name. Was just saying this on my podcast. I think it was at the comic strip.
Right.
Explaining that.
So you have to get there and put your name on the list as a late night guy,
mm-hmm.
and there were a few of us, and, like, you know, if there's, like, there were 4 late night spots.
Mm-hmm.
After that, they cut it off.
Yeah. So you just hang around.
But
until
if you're not number 1 or 2 on the late night spots, it's almost there's almost guaranteed you're going to be performing for no one or 2 people.
Okay.
Because as the show, these shows were really long at the comic strip. And as the time went on, the crowd would dwindle and dwindle. And I just remember that, like, you'd just see empty beer bottle tables you'd be performing for. And
that's not depressing or anything.
It was so depressing. And then they'd be like, at the end of the show, which I always thought was a little cruel to the late night people, they'd be like, okay, the show is over. You can go home. No one's going to make you feel bad if you want to leave. But there are some new talent comedians
that
are going
to come on.
But these
guys might kill themselves now.
Yeah. And if you want to hang around to see them, that's totally fine. They're not club-approved talent. They're just starting out.
Oh, my God, it's so sad.
I just remember, like, sometimes the host... I don't think without meaning to, would just convince them to leave. Like, I'd, like, watch their faces, and they'd be like, I guess I might stay. They're not that good. I'm like, oh, I don't know.
What a terrible
host. They're
going
to take a while. You probably want to get going. You've had a long night. I guess I kind of do. You don't want to watch them. Get up and walk out. Like, that's how it sounded to me. Like
a better option for the club.
And that table, too. We were thinking we'd actually stick around. No.
Nope, you should leave.
We want them to feel terrible.
The busters want to leave. They want to leave. They got to clean up. Just might as well let them get home early. The comics will just sit here in the dark and perform.
If possible, only 2 drunk people in the back could stay.
Then they can heckle.
And not listen.
Yes. That's so weird. That's a terrible host because you would think, like, keep people around so they'd buy more drinks.
Yeah, but usually you'd get, like, about 20 people out of, like, mm-hmm. a room of 150, and that's a good crowd, right?
Yeah.
And then... after one late night person goes on, they feel a lot of the crowd feels like, okay, I did my part. I stayed to watch one guy. He wasn't that good. We're going to head home now, honey. I mean, let's not let the night end terrible.
Yeah.
This shouldn't be forever. A marathon. We're not trapped in.
We had a really great night. You know, our anniversary was good. Let's not get in a fight just because this guy was bad.
Yeah. And then, like, another comedian will go on, and you'd see they're like, okay, I'll give it one more of these new guys. I don't know how many they'll. Then they wouldn't say they'll be 4. They just say. So in their audience mind, it could be endless, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
So by the 4th one, usually there wouldn't be a 4th one. I'd be like, sorry, there's nobody left. Or you go up for 2 people.
Yeah.
So for the late night comics, you have to get there as early as you can before the show to get your name on the list 1st or 2nd.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, what time would that be? What's as early as you can?
Yeah, I don't remember what time the shows were, but Let's say the show
how many hours were you
eight,
just sitting at the club?
At like 7:50, and then you'd go on at midnight.
Oh my God! You know? So we'd just sit there and watch comedy all night.
Yeah.
This is why comics drink too much. Well, because you're just encouraged to sit in a place.
Yeah, you couldn't sit and watch it anymore. You just hang out at the bar and talk to other comedians. And so the late night comedians were me, this guy Dennis Donahue, who's gone on to do a lot of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not Dennis Donahue, but he's another guy. Dominic DeArculus. That's the guy who I was thinking of. But Dennis Donahue's another good comedian. And Aziz Ansari.
Okay.
And a guy named Max Lance. I remember we were that crop of four.
That's cool.
Who were always like there for a while. And it just kept being like, I'd get there, I'd get my name up early, and then like one night, almost nobody left. It was a miracle. Like almost a whole crowd stayed for late night, and I'm about to go on, and they're like, and special guest Chris Rock. And he'd go out, and he did like an hour, and they all stayed for the whole hour because Chris Rock.
Yeah.
And then after that, they left because we just stayed for an extra hour with Chris Rock. We can't go up from here. Yeah. You know? So that happened to me a bunch of times where I just kept bumped consistently by Chris Rock. And I felt, you know, it's Chris Rock. And I'm new comedian number 1,500.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So, but he was really nice. And he came up to me and he was like, again, huh? Sorry, man. That's how it goes. I was like, all right, no problem. Thanks, you know.
You're like, but could it not happen another time?
Yeah, but I did get an interview from him because of it. Because after it happened a bunch of times, I said, you know, I'd love to interview you for my podcast. I had like the first comedy podcast. So.
Oh my God, you were podcasting like way before podcasts were. Wow, that's cool. And he did it?
So he was like, he felt bad because he kept bumping me. So he says, yeah, I'll do it. And then it took months.
You're a politician. Way to manipulate that situation, Danny. You were like, I'm the underdog. Now how can I use you?
Right. Yeah, I thought, you know what? Let me try and get something out of it. And I did. I got an interview with him.
That's awesome.
But it took forever after that. And I did have to use like Jewish guilt for a long time. I just keep saying to him and be like, hey, remember you said you'd do it? I will. Eventually. And then when we sat down, he goes, I'm not even supposed to be talking to you, bro. Like,
why?
I'm like, why? He goes, because this is a, you have to earn the right to talk to people like me. Like, he goes, you shouldn't.
What?
He goes, I don't know how you got this to happen. Like, you made me feel bad about it up top. But
you're like,
because
I'm very
out.
Smart.
And he's like,
I manipulated you.
He's like, you're not comics like me. Because I said to him, I said, it's great to be able to talk to you. You know, I always feel like when I see you, you seem unapproachable to me.
Yeah.
Or no, I think I told him you do seem approachable to me.
Oh,
but
and then he
whereas,
like, felt
like,
offended by
whereas,
that, maybe?
Like, you know, when I see Jerry Seinfeld, I never even go up to say anything.
Oh.
Because he has this air about him that says, don't come up to me. Like, you could feel it.
Yeah.
So I just don't. I said, and he goes, that's how it's supposed to be.
He probably just felt bad about himself that he was, like, too approachable.
No,
he wanted to be, like...
I don't want to be approachable. You're not supposed to be talking to me. He says, you're supposed to earn this right.
He's just a nice guy.
And he's like, you're supposed to earn the right to talk to someone like me. He goes, when I started doing comedy, I didn't just go up to Eddie Murphy and be like, hey, Eddie, sit down and talk to me for an hour. You got to earn that right. And I was like, oh, well, now that I didn't, can we keep
doing this? Sorry, but I got you here.
Talking for over an hour. And it was the night before.
It's like a girl that regrets going over to a guy's house. Like, I shouldn't be here. You're like, but you're here.
Yeah.
So
now can we do something?
Yeah. Like, it wasn't my fault you came.
Right. So he goes, he had to do Madison Square Garden the next night.
Holy shit. He was like really big at the time.
Yeah. He stayed and talked to me for over an hour. And I remember him being like, how long have we been sitting? Oh, man. It's over an hour. He goes, I got to tell you, you're a very good conversationalist because I was planning to give you 10 minutes and get out of here. He's like, and I just lost track. He goes, so you're good at this. And I was like, oh.
You're like, Chris, you're not the first person I've gotten to stay in a room. Do you know a little woman by the name of Hillary Clinton? She might be a little more famous than you.
But it was a really good compliment. I felt like, oh.
That is. It is.
Like, he's like, I wasn't planning. He's like, I was just going to brush you off after 10 minutes, but you hooked me in.
That's an awesome story. Have you seen him like since? Does he remember you?
No. I saw him once at the Comedy Cellar a few years ago, and he did remember me, and He was nice. He's like, oh, how you been? I'm like, good, thanks.
He's been around in LA like a little bit lately, but not a lot.
Yeah. I don't know if he remembered my name, but he's like, how you been? You good?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
oh, that's nice.
I'm like, he's like, all right, cool.
Still he remembered you, though.
I'm like, yeah, still at it.
That's cool. You're like more than at it, Chris. Let me just tell you how great things are going.
I'm doing very well. Only Rachel knows about it, but
but it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that story.
Yeah, Chris Rock was great. The best famous comedian story. Well,
I love these stories.
Is Dave Chappelle.
Ooh.
Because one night we were all in the Village doing a show, and Dave Chappelle comes in and he says, "Who's hosting?" I'll try and do a lousy Dave Chappelle impression since I did a very lousy Chris Rock. But I didn't even try until halfway through. I was like, maybe I'll try
maybe
and
I'll
make
commit
it sound
to this
like
now.
Him a little bit. He goes, "Who's hosting this show?"
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So you're like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. I did this on the fly. It's pretty good.
It's incredible. Let's let's not downplay it at all. It's like you're sitting here with him. I know.
Yeah, I mean, I almost said it myself, but you took the words right out of my mouth.
So we're like, oh, that guy. So he goes over and he's like, "I'm Rick." What if I just went into the hackiest Dave Chappelle? Rick James.
But that would get you into. Sometimes if you say like a certain thing that is very distinctual for them, like then it will, he'll get you into the.
I just did every annoying Chappelle impression.
The only accent I can kind of do is that Irish one, and I have to say like a little line, and then it gets me into it. That's all I can say.
Well, that's good. Then you just ride that groove, you know.
Yeah,
that
kind of. Anyways.
So he goes. He says he wants to take over the show. So he keeps the lineup. It's just a few new guys on the show.
What do you mean he wants to take over the show? Like, to run the show or just host the show?
So as soon as like you know somebody goes outside in the Village, we're near NYU, and they start saying, "Dave Chappelle's on stage." The place fills up.
Yeah.
You know? Now it's a Chappelle audience.
Okay.
But now I'm on a show hosted by Chappelle.
That's awesome.
And he's doing like an hour and a half between each comedian.
That long?
Yeah. And I mean, the show, I was about to go on at like 9 o'clock. Not about to, but soon to go on if you're in the lineup.
Yeah.
And then I didn't go on till 2 a.m.
Jesus.
But,
did people stay that long?
People stayed.
They must have been shit-faced by the time you went on.
Yeah. But I remember he was like smoking cigarettes on stage like it was jazz. You know, he was like up
there
for a long time.
Jim Jefferies just did that at the Comedy Store the other day.
Oh, really?
Pretty sure it's not legal there now.
Yeah. He's like going into these long stories and like Chappelle has this way of like, you know, he's like an old holy man who's been around everything. And he's like, he wants to tell you all about it. And you're like, you just sit around and you're like, yeah, okay, then what?
You're like, you're 32.
Let me tell you another thing about this thing, you know.
I love it. That was good. I like it.
So these people, I don't know.
Just ranting.
So he goes, all right. Who's next on the lineup? Who's next? Danny Lobel. I'm going to bring up another funny guy. Danny Lobel. Come on. So I go up.
You're like, oh, okay.
So as I get up on
stage.
That
wasn't a lot of time to run up to the stage.
20 people
intro?
Walk out. It's like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
People are leaving. And I look around and it's like mostly an all black audience at this time of night. And I thought it would be really funny to just open up by going, here's what I hate about black people. And it gets a big laugh, you know, just as an opening line. Then I start going into my material, but I just remember like I was really nervous because I look over and I see Chappelle watching me. And then I see a bunch of people get up and leave. And just like all of a sudden,
panic attack right now.
I just started like going into a joke and like stumbling on it. And then I was just like, what's my next joke? And like, where am I? And like started like really like fumbling. And then I didn't get the laugh on that joke. And then the next joke I tried to recover by overperforming it. And then that fell flat even harder because now I like really looked like I was trying and failing. And then I had like these thoughts in my head of like, you're not a real comedian. This is it. You're going to be found a fraud
that's
in front of
Chappelle.
That's
the worst, that you can have,
you know,
that many thoughts in your head in between like one or two sentences.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, this is over for me. I hate myself. Yeah. This is the day I die.
This is it. Chappelle's going to see me as a fraud. It's going to get to the top
people. And that can happen in a
comedy.
Total of 5
it's
seconds.
Over, you know.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I had that like when you're really bombing and you feel like sweat dripping down your back, like just like slowly making its way down your back, and you're like, oh no, I'm in the bombing zone, you know, and I just bombed and bombed and bombed, and nobody wanted to hear anything else from me, and I was just like, maybe I could recover with this. This always gets a laugh. I get nothing. I start feeling like the least funny person on the planet. And when it was over, I just wanted to, like, you know, bury my head in the sand and never. And also bombed in front of Chappelle, but also all my peers, the other comedians, who had all done pretty well in front of Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we were all going to get our big break or something from this, you know. I was naive.
Yeah.
I thought Chappelle's looking for the next generation of comedians and he's gonna help us out.
Pretty soon I'm going to have a TV deal.
I just thought, you know, he had the Chappelle show on the air.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to, like, bring us on as writers or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And finished the act and get off stage. And I just want to die in that moment, you know.
I hate that feeling.
And I'm so embarrassed. And I think Chappelle's going to go up there and be like, well, that was terrible, you know, like some like, oh my God, that guy thinks he's a comedian or something. Like,
yeah,
I thought it was going to be something like that. Like, whoo, who did he trick to get on this show? Or like, I guess we all just witnessed something horrible here. Let me bring this back, you know, but he didn't do that. He got on stage and he goes, here's what I hate about black people is one of the most cosmically funny lines I've ever heard.
Oh,
he goes, the balls to open an act by saying, here's in front of an all black audience, here's what I hate, and to get the laugh the way he delivered. And he just continues praise this one and only good moment I had in the entire set.
Wow.
To the point where people forgot that maybe I did anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just was like, you know, hitting his knee with the microphone, like,
oh my
man.
God, that's cool.
I love that. Here's what I hate about black people is cosmically funny. That's how you know you're watching a real comedian, to take a chance like that.
I feel like I'm going to cry. This is so cool.
It was the greatest moment ever. Like, he must have known I wanted to eat a bullet. And
what a wonderful guy.
He was so nice. He was such a nice guy. Like, he knew what he meant to me.
You know? That's so cool.
So that was.
They really always cool. say never meet your heroes, but sometimes they are just
sometimes
as good
they're
as
good people. Yeah.
Most of the people I have met have been pretty great. Like, people that I idolized in comedy, they've usually been pretty nice.
That's good.
Yeah, you're like, not for me.
No, I think that's true. I mean, I think the more successful they are, usually the nicer.
Well, yeah, because they've also gone from, like, because it's not new success, because now they've gone over a hump where they're panicking, like, oh, am I going to make it for forever? Or am I, like, do people hate me now?
Right. There's, like, this level of success where people are still kind of jerky. Like, I feel like they're, like, sort of successful.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing weekends at the Improv every week.
Yeah.
But they're, like, is it ever going to get better than this?
Yeah.
And people think they're successful, but they don't think they're successful. And those people are usually, like, the least nice ones, but
yeah.
I mean, not as a rule. There are definitely people
yeah.
who are, but the people who are really, really successful and secure in their success are generally like, all right, now let me just give back and be nice to people.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's rare that you find somebody, but it's almost, as I look at it now, it's almost like you'd have to be such a monster to be that successful and to not be nice to a young comedian.
Because they know what it feels like to, like, yeah, you'd really have to be a dick.
Like, what do you, you have everything you wanted to have, right?
Mm-hmm.
You did it.
Mm-hmm.
And people couldn't be nicer to you in that scenario. You're walking into a place where you're the
you
person.
You can do whatever you want,
you know?
Yeah.
You're the one. And people are coming up to you because they adore you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're inspired by you. They love you. how horrible do you have to be? How wretched inside to not be nice in that scenario?
That's
true.
But they didn't. But at the same time, like, Dave Chappelle, like, obviously should have been nice, but he didn't have to do what he
did.
He didn't have to be that fantastic.
That's why that story is significant, because he could have just, he could have been like, all right, let's move on with the show.
That could have been it.
He could have ripped on me. He could have just done nothing. He could have said, here's what I hate about black people is cosmically funny. Now let's move on with the show.
Yeah.
But he harped on it to the point where he was like, let me try and heal, because I know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try and heal what that guy is feeling right now as best as I can. And that was really amazing that he did that.
That is one of the best comedy stories I've ever heard.
And the podcast is over.
No, I was like, God, where do we go from there?
I don't know.
I mean, no one's, I don't know that anyone's ever been that nice to me.
Let's go on it.
There's that low self-confidence thing. I'm like, no one likes me. I don't have that kind of story.
But you have a microphone hand.
I've been switching it, though. It's getting tired.
Yeah.
So I've been, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So after New York, you moved to L.A. How long were you doing in New York before you moved to L.A.? At what point were you just like, I got to get out of here and go to a different city where there's more opportunities? Is that what happened?
You really want to know?
Yes, of course I want to know.
You sure?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Of course I want to know.
I mean, I'll talk to you about anything, but if you want to talk about
it. Yeah, I like talking about like how comedians became comedians.
Trajectories.
Yes.
Trajectories. I don't know. I hit a spot in New York where I wasn't getting anywhere. I was getting depressed. I was depressed.
Mm-hmm. Easy to be so. Was anyone, and as a comedian, but yes.
Yeah, and as a New Yorker.
Yeah.
where you have, like, you know, nothing. New Yorkers are just, you'll trade everything for the promise, the fake promise of New York.
Yeah.
You're like, so what if I don't have space? So what if all my stuff is from the garbage?
Yeah. So what if I'm living in the garbage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have to spend most of the money I have on a piece of plastic to go into a tunnel with rats? Fine.
But yeah, I love it. Whatever.
I can make it here. I can make it anywhere. But then, you know, you could also just make it somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to make it in shit. So that's what happened. I don't know. I'm from New York. I lived there my whole life. I was really getting fed up. I felt stuck in New York.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbors who I was friendly with, they were they were gangsters. They were Ecuadorian gangsters.
Mm-hmm.
They were gang members.
How'd you know?
Oh, we knew. I mean, lots of reasons.
What, like?
Like, they beat people up in the hallway.
Oh. And you would just be like, oh, sorry, I didn't see that.
Occasionally have people, like, banging on the window with a gun. Like, I know he's in there. Let me in here.
Jesus Christ.
It was terrifying.
On your window?
Oh, yeah. Kylie felt very unsafe, my wife.
Oh, you met Kylie in New York?
Yeah. And
she
kept saying, we should leave. And I said,
she's a tough broad to go through that.
Yeah, I'm like, we have rent control. Where are we going to go? Like, we're not going to have anything as nice as this apartment. We had a great apartment and a great location where, like, it was a mostly gentrified area, but there were a few little holdouts, and one of them was in our building.
Yeah.
And you know, the Blancos, you know, when they weren't, like, on crack or involved in gang activities, were really fun to hang around.
You know?
And it was just like you don't know what version you were going to get.
Yeah.
That was scary, too. Oh, yeah. I mean, I could tell you, I could do a whole series of podcasts on my stories with the Blancos, but.
That sounds insane.
Yeah. Sometimes it was like thrilling. Like, I remember one time somebody screwed me on a business deal, and I was so mad, and like Blanco, like, is like, come over, and like, we just did a bunch of bong hits and watched Kevin Hart. And not Kevin Hart. Who's the one who says he's a pimp all the time? I'm a pimp.
Cat Williams? No.
Crazy, and he's always like getting caught with guns and stuff.
Cat Williams?
Yes, yeah. Cat Williams. And I just remember like being so high. First, I was so mad. I was in my bathrobe walking around my apartment when he knocks on the door and he's like, you tight? I'm like, yeah, I'm tight. Like,
what's
tight,
that mean?
Like, angry. Like, oh. You're tight. He's like, yo, Danny boy, come over. So he's like, you know, first you get, you know, we're smoking and he's like talking to me like, we're going to take steel bars. We're going to break his legs. And like, and I was like,
you're like,
all of
much?
A sudden I felt like I had muscle, you know, like, okay. Yeah, we're going to do that, you know? And then I'm like, you know, we're just getting really high and like really like angry. And I'm like, you know, there's this part of me that's like, maybe I'm going to go to jail for the rest of my life for this, but maybe I'll actually feel like courageous. And I stood up for myself, you know, and I'll feel tough. And I don't know, we're going back and forth. And ultimately somehow, instead of going out like we were going to with grab steel bars and go to this guy's place, we wound up, which is great. Like, instead of, that's the closest I ever got to like real criminal activity. But instead of like going along with some muscle and standing up for myself with steel bars, we wind up watching Cat Williams on his futon. And we're just,
that's how I would have done
cracking
it.
Up. I was just like, I get Cat Williams now. I get it. I get what he's saying. Like, I didn't think he was talking to me, but now I feel like he's talking
right
to me.
Right to me.
Yeah, Danny boy. Yeah. That's right. He's about that shit, son.
So did
funny
you...
Funny motherfucker, son.
So did you leave because of all the gang activity?
Yeah, it got
too
bad. Or
was Kylie just afraid?
Well, we came home New Year's Eve
one
night.
Be terrified.
And there was blood all in the hallway leaning up to our door and up to his door, you know?
Holy
There's
shit.
Just like pools of lots and lots of lost blood.
Your
and
wife is angelic.
Like,
how did
yeah,
she do
that's
this?
That's when she was like, all right, we have to leave.
You were like, oh, yeah, that seems about
like,
right.
Yeah, yeah, I can't keep making an argument otherwise. So we look into like what our options are in New York, and they all sucked in terms of what we would get for the money.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, you always talk about moving to L.A. Why don't you just do it? And I was like, it just feels like such a step down. What if we live in Florida for a month first?
Oh, yeah, because that's not a step down.
It feels like a step up from Florida.
Oh.
I was like, you know, I want to feel, like, excited to go there. If we go straight from New York, I'll feel depressed.
Yeah.
So we did. We lived in Florida for a month, and then we moved to L.A.
So where'd you go? Like, how did you just live in Florida for a month?
We found a place on Craigslist,
mm-hmm.
a house on a lake. We rented it.
Wow.
It was $400 for the month.
That's awesome.
It was in St. Cloud, Florida.
Did you guys didn't have to work? You just like chilled for a month?
I mean, I did some comedy shows around Florida. Yeah. And the rent was so cheap.
Didn't matter.
We even considered just staying in Florida. Like,
wow.
We're living on a lake.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's KKK on the block.
Yeah. It's on this one of the
road.
Worst states.
They're like, oh, like somebody's like, that house is a Grand Wizard's house. So KKK.
That's supposed to mean. Is that the biggest KKK people?
I don't know. I guess he's high up there. He's a Grand Wizard. So he's like,
wow, that really discredits them when they're calling people wizards.
Yeah.
It makes them sound even more crazy.
Wizard.
Yeah. And there's a warlock.
I wonder if, like, in their mind, Grand Wizard is kind of like how everybody else looks at, like, Harry Potter wizards. Like we look at it like dirty, angry wizard, you know?
Yeah.
Racist wizard.
And he thinks
but
he's
I wonder
like
if they actually look
imparting
at it like
wisdom on people and casting
yeah,
spells.
Like that magical music you yeah. hear, like.
It's like this fire I'm going to put on someone's lawn is really just going to
yeah.
rile them up in a good way.
Right.
Going to get them inspired and enchanted.
What if like the KKK is not, you know, they're racist as a front.
Yeah.
They're like, what will deter people from looking into us more? If we just seem racist and hateful, then we could practice our magic in peace.
Maybe.
Like, they're really just doing wonderful spells. But they just don't want anybody even... They're like... Because otherwise you'd be like, what are they about?
Yeah.
Wizard? I'd love to know
Why
more.
Why are they wearing white sheets?
It's like, no,
Sorcerers?
No. We cannot have people
no.
prying into
That'd
our business.
That'd be embarrassing. So let's just be...
Let's just have everybody stay away completely.
So you moved to L.A.
Yeah. Except it doesn't work with the white power idea. Because then anybody who feels like white power... But what if they're talking about, like, the power of the color white? Like how
because they like white sheets?
Kabbalistic idea of, like,
right.
white, not in terms of skin tone.
I feel like we're giving them too much credit. I'm pretty sure they,
oh,
were, they
we're
I'm pretty sure they were focused.
We're
I think
giving them
yeah, I think they knew exactly what they didn't like.
An interesting idea to find yeah. out that they're actually the most liberal, loving, unbelievable, like, civil rights activists. but in order to actually
which
do their
good
work.
Just a few guys ruined it for him?
No, they ruined it for themselves. They tried to paint themselves as something else so we could stay away so they could be left in peace to do their work to make the world go round.
Maybe. You never know. Great conspiracy theory, though.
Thank you.
Let's get you to L.A. now. Let's get you out of the KKK.
Nobody ever gives them the benefit of the doubt.
I like that you are, but I'm going to stop you right there.
You
pretty
know
sure. Listen,
I'll take
Elvis is still alive over the KKK are good people.
This is one of the most offensive conspiracy theories I've ever heard.
Same with Dele.
Yeah. And then if you like listen to the podcast,
he won't see
out of context,
he just wants to keep saying it.
You'd be like, wait a minute, I heard him say, here's what I hate about black people. Fast forward to making excuses for the KKK. I'm starting to get a very different picture of this guy.
All right, I'm going to keep going. So you moved to L.A. Daddy's like, no, that was a great point.
Sometimes when I feel like I'm digging a hole, I try to just keep digging it and come out on the other side.
It usually works for you. So you moved to L.A.
Why are you still digging this hole? Because if you keep digging, you get out, and you can
might
walk
strike
back around
oil.
To the top. Well, you just wind up in China.
Either way.
Which brings me into my Chinese jokes. Chinese people. Too many of them, am I right?
All right, stop.
Let's kill the career right now.
Okay. So you moved to L.A.
I just really don't want to talk about my move to L.A. I'd rather just burn the whole career down. Never get asked about it again. Yeah, I moved to L.A. L.A. is, I like L.A.
Yeah.
L.A. is good.
Did you just get right into stand-up here? Did you already know
people?
I mean,
people? I got robbed 2 days ago, so I don't
feel
so great
good.
About it
well,
right now. But it makes you like not like the place where
you are. Listen. At first, when you told me this story, and he'll tell it in a second, I was like, oh, scary. Ugh. The robbing story. I was like, God, who could handle that? But after hearing about your experience in New York, maybe you were just the right person to handle a gang member.
But you know, the thing is, like, remember when I was talking about how I couldn't really stick up for myself and we were going to go after the guy?
Yeah.
With like crowbars.
Yeah.
But we never did. I still have this complex of like, there's this part of me that I just want to like be able to prove that I can defend myself. And I got stuck up and I
we
felt so powerless.
We don't need crowbars though.
Pretty much. I didn't get stuck. I got robbed.
Yeah.
By a guy in a gang. And
at
I was
your barbershop.
At my barbershop 2 days ago. And I just felt so powerless. Because like, what do I do? Like, do I attack him? He could have a gun or a knife on him. Probably does.
Mm-hmm.
There's also another guy there with him. If there's one of us that knows how to fight, it's the guy with the face tattoos.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Not me.
Well, he probably killed someone with the teardrops. Did you count him?
Yeah, and I didn't. No, he had a tattoo of a cross.
Oh, just on his face.
On his face next to his eye.
Well, that means something gangish, I think, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Teardrops mean how many people they've killed, right?
Right.
I don't know.
He just had the general appearance and demeanor of a gang member.
Yeah, probably was.
So... it wasn't good. He stole a lot of money from me and that I worked very hard for. And there was nothing I could do. And the barbers didn't have my back. Nobody had my back. And I realized I was either going to have to risk my life to get back this money or just not, you know, call the police. So I call the police and they show up an hour and 20 minutes later.
They're
so
like
there was nothing.
What'd they say?
The
they were just
was
like
way gone by then. The guy made a run for it. I chased
but what,
him.
Did the police like give you any hope that they could do anything? Or were they just like, sorry?
Yeah, they didn't. They don't care.
Yeah.
They took a report.
Like
and then, you know, they called me with a stupid question like a few hours later when they were typing up their report. Which is like, and which foot did he put the money in his right sock or his left sock? I'm like, right sock. Thank you. Bye.
They're like, oh, that was helpful.
Yeah.
You just wasted more of my time. Wonderful.
Yeah. They're not going to do anything. It was just depressing.
I mean, I think you did the right thing by not attacking him.
But it feels horrible. You feel so trapped. It was like a checkmate move. You know, like,
yeah.
It's like, okay, so what do? You're going to physically try and get your money off of this guy now? Or are you going to, like,
not a
know?
Good idea.
So I dropped the money. That's how he got it. If you drop money, you're done in a barbershop. That's it.
I mean, not every barbershop.
Yeah. Well,
where were you at? Like around here?
Yeah, African barbershop.
But this is like a nice area.
I've been going there for 4 years.
Hmm.
And I thought these guys were my friends or whatever.
You're like, no more. They lost business.
That's like the white, I'm gonna ruin. That's the white response.
Yeah, exactly.
And now you lost a customer.
Yeah, so let's take that to the bank.
And they're like, okay. You know, they always say, can you believe? Can you believe? The one one good thing that came out of it was this silly story he told me. He's like, after I got robbed, he's like, can you believe the people who come in here is robbing all the time? You have these kind of people, bad people. This guy, can you believe I have this guy who bring out big wad of money all the time to pay me? He's always flipping through so many bills. Then he give me $20 for the haircut. I put it down on the counter. Then I turn around for 1 second. He stole his $20 back. I said, hey, give me back that money. Can you believe? He says to me, I already paid you. I'm leaving. I say, you took your money back. I put it right there. He goes, I already paid you. I don't know what you're talking about. He Holy stole shit. His $20 back.
You're like, sir, he stole $400 from me. So this story isn't really impacting me at all. You're like, I would love to have $20 stolen from me. That's crazy, though. They're like, what scumbags?
The barber says, how much money's in the envelope? Like when we had this standoff, me and this thug. When I'm like, give me my money back.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like screaming at me and cursing at me and like trying to intimidate me. And it worked. And
it was very effective, actually.
And the barber's like, how much money's in the envelope? I guessed so that we could identify that, you know, let's open it up and it'll be my... It's about $400. And the guy who robbed me...
He got, like, excited.
Misheard, and he goes, $4,000? I'm like, $400. And his face just sunk, like, oh.
Not a good night for me.
Like, so then give it back.
Yeah, it's not enough for you. Exciting for you. Yeah, go rob a bank. You don't need my money.
It was this weird, surreal moment.
Oh, that's even worse. And he wasn't even happy with it.
We had this, like, whole tense standoff where it's like, I was trying to intimidate him to give me the money back. He's, like, trying to intimidate me. The guy who was there with him was also trying to intimidate me. Like, you know, the barbers were doing nothing. I'm looking to them for support. It was like, you know, everything was in, like, my, you know, I was, like, in like, weird adrenaline, but scared and, like, wanting to fight and also, like, trying to be smart. And, like, I was, like, very internally conflicted. Like, you know, attack him. Don't attack him. Don't be stupid. He could have a gun or a knife. This is how it happens. He'll just pull it out. You don't know how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Just attack him. Just get your money right now. Just grab it off of him. What's he going to do? No, don't do it. And then I just like inside, I was like, ah, you know, like checkmate.
That is so annoying.
And it was just crazy. What was I about
to say? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write a sketch of this guy and I'm going to paste posters all around LA and I'm going to say, have you seen this guy? Call me. And then I will go kill him for you.
Thank you.
That's also like, a white person move to
the
do.
The other thing is like, now let's say I went and found video surveillance footage from a few shops away where we could get them. And then I bring that to the cops and we identify them, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to they call me in and they go, is this the guy?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, yeah. Then there'll be a time before a trial.
Mm-hmm.
This is a gang in my neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
It's not such a smart idea.
Yeah, not a great idea.
So, like, now I've, like...
That's why I'm going to do it.
...identified this guy. So, it's, like, I feel so unprotected, so unsafe, and, like, I can't even retaliate, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I could get him. I got the other guy's phone number, who was there with him.
How'd you get his phone number?
Because the barber. He'd called the barber. I got it off the barber.
Got it.
Which he didn't want to give me, but I got into a huge fight with him. And he's like, yeah, take the number!
See, you scared him. You got your manhood back.
Yeah, he's like, if you would have been like this... You would have got your money back in the time. I'm like, well, I was in shock.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, he was a gang member. You're a barber.
Right.
A little different.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah.
So I called the guy who was with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, tell him to give me my money back.
You're like, please don't trace this number.
He's like, yeah, I don't know, bro. He spent it.
That's what he said?
Yeah, he's like, it's gone. I'm like, you tell him to get it back. He's like, yeah, I gotta go. And he just hung up on me.
Oh, this one had a conscience at least.
Yeah.
A little bit. He could have just been like, fuck you, we'll kill you. He was like, oh, my friend's a dick.
It's weird because this guy, like, after his friend bolted, like, you know, the guy said, I have priors. Like, when I called the cops, he bolted. And he's like, if they come, you know. So I'm like, so give me my money back, you know. So, and then he ran out the other way and I chased him and he got away. And the other guy's like, I'll talk to him. I'll talk some sense into him. get the money back for you.
That's sad.
And then I was like, I'm like, why don't you tell me his name? He's like, no, man. He's like, we come from different worlds. He's like, if I snitch, I'm going to get popped.
He's seriously?
Like, yeah. He's like, shit. He goes, we come from different worlds, bro. He goes, but I'll talk to him. I'm like, well, that sounds like, you know, you're talking to me like I'm an idiot. Like, you're going to talk to him? He's just going to bring me my money back?
Yeah, like, you're like, that's not going to happen.
Because I was trying to keep him there till the cops got there, but the cops took an hour and 20 minutes. I couldn't keep him there
for
that long. It's not Hillary Clinton.
Again, I was going to say, again.
You know?
She's not as easily manipulated.
So he's like, what are you going to do? You're going to hold me back here? You're going to hold me here till
he noticed?
Yeah,
oh.
He's like, no, I was trying to not let him leave.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what are you going to do realistically? You're going to hold me here?
Wow.
He's like, you have no choice, bro. I got to go. I'm not hanging around till the cops get here. He's like,
I like that he was so calm about it. Like, he was like, I know how long it takes for cops to get here. I can chill for a little longer, but eventually I have to leave.
Yeah, it's true. So he's like, I told you I'll talk to him. That's the best I could offer you. He's like, you don't really have a choice. He's like, that's the best you got. I'm like, yeah, I guess.
Like, you're mean.
Like, or I could just beat him up.
Why would you do that? What's that going to do?
I'm,
I was like, that one doesn't
up.
Even
I'm
have
like,
the money.
Yeah, I'll beat him up.
Yeah, that'll solve
it. Said sarcastically.
I know.
Because like, what am I going to do? Really? I'm not a fighter. I'm a comedian. I'm an artist.
Yeah.
I've never been in a serious fight. Thank God. But I also feel like there's a part of me that's like insecure about the fact that I've never been in a real fight. Like, I wish I could be like, yeah, I could fight and I could win. I care because I'm a man, and that's what programmed into us.
But no, how many guys have really been in fights that were like not just like an embarrassing drunken brawl, and then it was like no one won and it was stupid?
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless you're an actual gang member.
But if you ever watch a movie, like, guys do amazing things in the movies.
It's
like there's like this time afterwards where I'm waiting for the cops to get there, and I'm like, I should have like made a move, or I like push off the wall and turn around and grab the knife that the barber uses to shave people with. And like whisked it around like an action movie star, and like held it to the guy's throat and be like, "Give me my money now."
Yeah, that would have.
But realistically, that's not how it plays out at all.
Never, no, because then they would probably have a gun and they would have shot you.
Then I looked at the coffee pot. I'm like, "What if I would have grabbed the coffee pot, smashed it against the wall so it was sharp shards of glass,
and
then held it up to him?" Like, that's not going to happen either. What actually happens is what actually happened. Nothing. Just a guy gets away with my money.
We'll get it back.
I'll never get it back. But
maybe not that, but maybe cosmically,
you will
receive a gig right now for $1,000. You'd be like, well, screw that $400.
I believe in God, and I do believe in an order to the universe, and I don't understand everything as it happens, but I do believe, like, you know, how humanity and the world is all connected. And there must be some reason why that money left me and wound up with him.
You think that guy's rich? No.
Maybe it has nothing to do with him. He might have that money and, like, you know, spend it stupidly, but it winds up in somebody else's hands, you know?
Totally agree with you.
And that money needs to get from me to somewhere else, you know?
I do think about that a lot when it's something where it's, like, out of your hands. I'm just like, probably was meant to be.
Yeah.
They may have needed it more than me.
Because it was all so well orchestrated that the money would fall out of my pocket at this exact place.
Yeah.
Where this guy who's in a gang is going to pick it up, who's right there at that time at exactly 11 a.m. when we're both there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, it's just all going to happen right there. Like, it doesn't, it's too well synced, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It could have just fell out of my pocket at Walgreens and someone would have said, oh, here's your envelope. Like, it doesn't
happen
like
that. It was too well synced, you're right.
Know?
Yeah, yeah. And this is how Hillary Clinton got elected. That
it's
went to
all
her fund.
So well, it's all synced up.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, it's all part of a bigger story.
Oh, I think so.
You know?
You didn't need the money that bad.
And I don't even know if, like, you know, I'm like, well, what does that guy need the money for? You know, bad stuff.
Bad stuff.
But maybe it's not about
him. Or maybe
him.
He's got like a sick, like maybe his child has like cancer or something and he's stealing money for that.
I just
Who
feel
knows?
Like that's not true at all.
Well,
but,
I know. I'm just trying to make you feel
but,
better.
But maybe the money's just going to go in between me and whoever needs it through him. Somehow.
Probably.
You know, I don't know.
I like that. Well, I think we should end on that positive note. I like it. You don't like that?
I like to end on a negative note.
Always. If I could just do it, I just always want it to be bad.
Right.
Yeah.
No. I mean, we can end there. Is that it?
No, I mean, we can keep going.
Let's keep going.
All right. What else do you want to talk about? I like that story.
And the funniest part about it is in the middle of all this tension and like this adrenaline and fear and frustration, there was just this little comic moment where it's like 4,000? No, 400.
Oh. That's like so much more insulting that like...
Where it's like...
Like where he's like, just like, oh, that wasn't even worth it. You're like, it's worth it. Then give it back.
Yeah. That's, what? I'm not good enough to rob?
Yeah. And you're just like, I'll never be good enough for anything.
Hang on. I'm going to go to the ATM. We're going to make this worth your while.
I'm going to drain my savings account. Now you try to rob me.
800. A little better. What else you got? And my phone. I'll take the car, too. Right. Now you robbed someone substantial, huh? Yeah.
Now you can go and tell your friends about this.
I'm going to want to take your wife, too.
That one I need.
I mean, would that make me a worthy person of your robbery skills?
Would you think I was tough then?
Oh, man. Like, what an unsuccessful guy I just robbed. Only $400 is his big amount of money.
No,
for
that's
him.
Just what you had on you. You said just with the cash you carried around.
That was that was it. What I had on me was what I had.
Listen, this guy lives a very scary life. Yeah. I think you win in the long run.
Yeah.
He's probably not.
I'd like to think that he dropped the envelope.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You know, he dropped the envelope and somebody like.
And then some like.
When he ran away from me, what if it flew out of his sock and he ran for like 3 blocks and then he stopped and then he realized it was gone and it had fallen out and a homeless guy who needed some kind of like. Insulin shot or something, or he was gonna die, and you know they have those shots that are like $800 or something.
Yeah,
and all he needed was another $400. He gets it. Like who knows?
That's awesome. That probably was.
Anyway, what else do you want to know about LA? Why'd you want to know about my move here?
I just wanted to know what, how, if it was easy for you to get into the comedy scene here. Did you know people or did you start from scratch?
I knew one person. They knew Ralphie May. Who helped me out when I first got here for the first year. And that help only went so far, mostly because he was always on the road. And he was never in L.A. So it didn't help me too much. It got me known by the improv.
Okay, that's good.
And that's about it. And other than that, I mostly started from scratch because even the people I knew from back in New York, people don't really help you too much. Like... They'll say hi.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, great to see you.
Yeah.
You're out here now? Yeah. Okay, good. Good to see you. I'll see you around.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of, in my experience, maybe some people help a lot of other people, but in my experience, not so much.
I'm a big fan of doing that. Like, if anyone's ever done something for me, I always think, like, they're the first person I want to, like, help out or something. Or even just in general. It's just someone I know that I know is new or struggling. I'm like, I would like to help them. I don't know.
Yeah, you're a good person, you're good like that. It's a very good quality. I was very flattered that you made a nice plug for me on your podcast with Barry Katz.
No, was it with Barry or Jamie?
No, Jamie.
Yeah.
But
you are very funny.
Yeah, well, thank you.
We all talk about you. We're like, oh, damn, Danny's funny. Danny might be funnier than us.
It doesn't matter. It hasn't gotten me anywhere yet, but maybe it will.
It will. Of course it will.
Maybe it will.
You have two successful podcasts. You got to.
I have an album coming out. It's untitled. As of right now, but it's supposed to come out in January.
Awesome.
So people will have forgotten this by then.
No, they won't. That's like an insult to me. People are going to play this over and over.
And over forever.
Over forever.
So that'll their be kids on are gonna know records, about it. StandUpRecords.com, and I recorded it in Barcelona. So the title will be something Barcelona.
Why in Barcelona?
Because my family originate from there.
Wow, that's so cool.
And they were kicked out 500 years ago for being Jewish.
All right,
and
it's not
so
great.
I thought I'd go back and.
So you had like a crowd there?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was pretty fun.
This is going to be a big thing. This is cool.
I hope so, yeah. It's just like I'm going to go back and make them laugh. Like my ancestors probably did 500 years
That's
ago.
That's really cool. Were they all English speaking?
No. See, that was the thing. The first time I went to do Barcelona, I didn't record it. It was a few years ago. And it was mostly expats, you know, English-speaking people from England, Australia. This time it was about 50-50. I had like 50% Catalan people.
Wow.
And a lot of them didn't understand most of the show. Because there was like this one point in the album you'll hear where I said something in Spanish, and I go, which means this to people who don't speak Spanish, mm-hmm. and to everyone who does speak Spanish. This might be the only thing you understood the whole show.
Uh-huh.
And then I got a big laugh from that. But then awesome. People were like, you know, I didn't really understand so much, but I'm like, but then why were you laughing? He's like, oh, you know, I like to watch you, man.
That's cool. That's very cool.
So that, yeah, it was really cool.
You speak fluent Spanish?
No, I don't speak Spanish.
I thought you just said something in Spanish.
I just had one little phrase.
Oh, you had one word. All right.
One word.
Scumbag.
Yeah.
Just manipulating people left and right.
No, you know what
I believed you. I was like,
Tortuga. Because I have a tortoise. I did jokes about my tortoise. And I said, we're tortuga in Spanish. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
What means what?
Tortoise.
Oh, okay.
I said, this might be the only word you understand if you speak only Spanish. But, it was really fun. I'm optimistic about it. I sound like I'm down.
Not at all.
On myself. But
not at all.
I usually have pretty good self-confidence. It's just that I got robbed 2 days ago and I'm shook up.
That shouldn't be like a matter. Like, you should be happy that you didn't do something fucking stupid. If you would have actually tried to attack the guy, you'd probably be dead, and then Kylie would be out of a husband, and then I'd be all sad.
People
you know?
Would say he died bravely.
No, they would say he died like a fucking idiot. It would be tragic.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd be like, God, he was going to have a great, great comedy career, but then he was in the wrong side of town and got in with the wrong people. They'd make up some weird story.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd be like, Danny was selling drugs. He had a lot
of
cash on him.
Back to hanging with those Blancos.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
Suppose.
It would have been bad for you if you would have done that.
It would have been.
It wouldn't have looked good.
I make a lot of almost bad choices.
I don't think you do.
Almost. Like, I'm almost about to make a bad choice most of the time.
But then you don't.
Generally, I don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've gotten better. I used to do more, like, act on them, but now I'm, like, better.
You don't need to do that.
Yeah. So
I make a lot of good choices.
Do you like L.A.?
I love L.A. I love it here. I've never, like, been around a bunch of people I didn't like or, like, run with the wrong crowd. I've always had, like, nice friends.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Stable personality?
Pretty much for the most part.
Bad, yeah.
Yeah.
What are your bad choices? You said you make a lot of bad choices.
Oh, do I? No, I said I don't make a lot of bad choices.
Oh, you don't?
Okay,
no. Sorry.
Not really. I'm pretty boring.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's funny how you always would go around Second City like, I'm on a TV show, but I'm embarrassed about it.
I wouldn't say that. If someone they asked what you do, I would say, yeah I'm on a show, but I'm embarrassed about it.
And then I go, what do you mean you're embarrassed? You're on TV. You'd be like, oh, but it's reality TV.
Yeah, well.
Well, that's still TV.
Yeah.
Reality TV runs the world now.
No. But it wasn't what I had planned to do. I wasn't embarrassed
Donald
about it.
It's a gateway to being president.
Oh, yeah. Here's the moral of the story. I will be president one day.
Yeah.
The first female reality TV president.
It's going to be a new criteria. You want to be president, you first have to have a successful reality
Prove
show.
Prove they have enough followers on social media, and then we'll figure it out. All right. I do have to go because I need to finish unpacking my stuff.
Oh, man.
But this has been really fun.
I bored you.
No, you didn't. This has been so
You're
fun.
You're out. You're
not
cutting
at all.
It off short.
This is not short. This is like one of my longer podcasts.
I know. I pushed for longer. I'm just teasing. Thanks for having me.
This has been really fun. Don't feel bad about that. You would probably be dead if you went and attacked that guy.
Yeah.
Listen, that guy doesn't have anything to lose. He just is like scrappy and creepy, probably.
Probably. I'll plug my podcast, Modern Day
Please
Philosophers, and the Mostly Bull Market. Two podcasts I do.
Your album. Oh, go ahead.
One of them I discuss philosophers with comedians, and the other one I discuss companies with comedians.
And then your album coming out?
I don't have a name for it yet. But
it's untitled. In January.
StandUpRecords.com.
Which is very exciting.
Go check it out.
And what are your next shows?
This week? I don't know. I went tomorrow night in my backyard.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You want to come?
Sure.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you for doing this.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Bye. Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.com. KSI.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.